opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning. Oh, you can see I'm ready to go. I got my hand on the trigger. Good morning. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. That was a quick happy birthday to one of the most beloved Mitchells in the world. Because wherever you are in the world, I hope you're having a fabulous, fabulous day. I didn't want to tell the people yesterday it was your birthday because, you know, they like to play numbers. But this one's a winner. This one is a winner. Only Mitchell's eating chicken dinner. Y'all like to play people age too much. But that's okay. I am not mad at you. Good morning and welcome. It's Wednesday, the 14th of September, 2022. And today joining me in a few moments in studio is Mr. David Williams from International Men's Day. We want to change up a little bit. We want to have some more positive engagement or positive discourse or positive topics, and we're going to be talking about an upcoming event by International Men's Day where we're providing support strategies and solutions for men and boys, for communities, for families, because you can't have strong families, strong communities, you can't have a strong nation without strong, healthy men and boys. Somebody said, I've been given permission to give age because it's only number. It is correct numbers etiquette. All I know is that he is older than me. And if he say rule, then I must he have to rule. But if you know that theme song we opened up the show with, then you know exactly who I am talking about. As I wait for my guest to get into studio, I want to just do a little bit of talking about the news. We want to say condolences to the family and friends of the young boy that was killed yesterday in a traffic accident in Grand Bahama. Let me say, just a moment, a little life, a young life lost needlessly. And then, you know, I'm going to remind us that we had a recent traffic fatality in the eastern district, eastern area of New Providence, northeastern outside of Harbor Bay. This is the details that I read. A motorcycle rider, driver, crashed and then was subsequently hit by another vehicle. And then I saw the scenes, the aftermath of a very bad accident in Eleuthera on the Family Islands. I hope we're noticing the increase. Like, we only report on the most horrific traffic incidents and fatalities now. We don't report on the multitude of traffic incidents, accidents that are happening around the country. It is absolutely and totally out of control. And I want to sort of piggyback. The Minister of National Security made a statement today reminding us, admonishing us to resist the urge, right? To ascribe all the crime to sort of like poverty is poor people that are struggling and they need things. Because if we sort of shift our gaze to the public roads and we look at the myriad of infractions, first of all, people will tell you, I run the stop sign or the red light because I got somewhere to go. You know, I got to get ahead. I got to advance. I got to move forward. But I want you to note another thing. That the people committing these infractions and offenses, they're not, you know, the typical criminal who we like to ascribe blame to. Right? I like to say it's not Bobo and your boy running the red light or parking on the pedestrian crossing outside of a school at the end of school, right? It's not my boy who would sell half bags turning right on red or left on red without stopping, ignoring oncoming traffic in red plates. You know, that's some government plates. I was cut off on the road yesterday by an older white man, had to be in his late 60s to early 70s. And let's just say, old boy must have been a gangster in his early days. It's not the usual suspect. We like to say this thing, oh, you know, these bad boys, and they don't want work, and they have no education, and they have limited options, so they turn to crime. No. These are people with a lack of critical thinking, a lack of spatial awareness, and in many, many instances, a lack of regard. It's just a general disregard for other people, for the rules, for the right of way, for things like consent. This is a culture. This is a culture that's permeated every sector of society. People who are going to act for their own benefit without regard to anybody else. Some people say that's capitalist culture. By any means necessary. But the most important, it's not the usual suspect. And to sort of reference something that was said on Morning Blend, it may not be an overwhelming majority, but more and more people every day make a conscious and clear decision to disregard the rules on the road for their own advantage. And people can say, oh, Aaron, but traffic offenses, those aren't crimes. Yeah, you know what? They're not crimes in that sense. You're not going to go to criminal court, right? You're going to go to a traffic court. But what we are doing to each other is criminal. Because this is no longer the culture where, well, you get in an accident, you got to have insurance, so you just let the insurance deal with it, and you pay for your mistakes. That's not the culture we're living in anymore. We're living in a culture where the people with the best jobs and the best cars think it's their right to avoid, to use any means necessary to avoid acknowledging their liability, their responsibility, the consequences of their actions. It is out of control. And so I'm speaking, I guess, to two sectors, to many sectors of society, to us, the regular, ordinary people. We have got to figure out how to govern ourselves and how to cause or compel the people around us to govern themselves as well. And to those that have a statutory duty of care, and I'm going to say this, or a religious duty of care, since the Christian community thinks they're in charge of everything, you have a responsibility to act preemptively, to prepare a way, to ensure that the environment is enabled, is capable, that young people within the environment they're in can make healthy and safe decisions, can move through safely. We see in the paper the Minister of Education reminding and Chief Superintendent Skippings reminding parents that they have an obligation. They are a part of the strategy and solution to ensuring that young people can study, enjoying their right to a life free of violence. Yes, you got to do the hard work of checking your kids' bags before they go to school. Yes, there's a reason why we want parents to walk their kids up to the school gate. So when you hold in their hand, you could feel the change in their temper, their energy as they approach the school. You could get a sense if something is wrong. You could look in their eyes in their last moment before you release them upon the world and get a sense of whether you could let them go. This is what us adults should be doing. This is what our job is. This is why we never sleep. And to those that do have a statutory obligation, that's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why you're making that money. That's what you get paid to do. We have had a myriad of issues over the last few weeks and months that show us glaringly, straight in our face, that we are failing as adults in our families, in our schools, in our communities, on the road in general. We are failing to live up to our duty of care for one another. Oh, a lovely amount of text. Says we need to stop acting like we don't have any common sense in this country. Some people just stuck on stupid. And it's easy to do, you know. It's easy to do when you have more dollars than cents. And you only ever solve your problems with money. It's very easy to be stuck on stupid. Text here, great show as usual, Ms. Green. I want to say something pertaining to the government schools. We as upper-class people don't send our kids to government schools, not because the students come from families with too much social issues, not because the schools are bad. Texter, please reiterate. Send that text again. Because I think you're saying because there are too many social issues or not because there are too many social issues. Please send that text again. It's very interesting. Producer, let's go to this caller very quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning to all.
Good morning. How you do?
All right, Ms. Green. Ms. Green, you know, I went to QC in 1973, right?
Yeah.
And then we had a reading lab at Queens College.
Mm-hmm.
That's in 1973. Do you think there's a reading lab in the government schools today?
I doubt it.
Right. So we need to stop fooling ourselves. You see, we segregate our schools. We are segregated schools, segregated communities. You know, mm-hmm. The World Bank, right? The UN, they've done studies on relations between inequality, right, and crime. Inequality, you know, that is poverty and crime. You know, we want to pass all the buck on the parents. But what about the society? What about civil Bahamas? What about the government?
I got you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's a great point that you make. I went to QC as well, as you guys know. And when I was in QC, I finished the primary school reading list in the middle of fifth grade. And it's just to say that a focus on reading, on literacy, on giving kids the ability to navigate the world around them is what's needed. And certainly educational apartheid or educational segregation is a part of the problem. And so today I wanted to introduce my guest, Mr. David Williams. We're going to be talking about an event that aims to provide strategies and solutions for young men and boys, so that we can, A, begin moving out of the space, begin creating environments where young people, particularly young men and boys, can make healthier and smarter and safer choices about their lives and about their communities. Good morning, Mr. Williams.
Just want to say a pleasant good morning to those of you listening. I want to talk about three events in particular, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Three events. Okay.
Yes.
No, this is awesome. This is awesome. Now, before you start, I was supposed to have Mr. Link Scavella on with you today from Stronger Neighborhood Bahamas Foundation.
Okay.
And they're having a speech competition in honor of Quentin Danny McKenzie. It's called Youth Speak, an intercommunity speech competition.
Uh-huh.
It's Wednesday, the 21st of September. It's going to be at the Paul Farquharson Conference Center. And the registration information, you can WhatsApp 423-8372. That's 423-8372 if you want to engage, if you want to get some young people involved in the speech competition. That's another compliment.
Yes.
And I thought, let's bring these conversations together. Let's highlight the good work that is taking place.
That's correct.
And highlight strategies that we could share in spaces that need it.
Yes.
But I only thought you had one event, the Men and Boys March and Rally, but let's talk about them all.
Okay. Well, first I want to give kudos. I want to honor, right now, Aaron, there should be a press conference going on at the CC Sweeting School. I went to CC, you went to QC.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went to CS,
right? Yeah, man, we good,
okay.
We good.
And what happened is the two top law enforcement, so this is something I have on you, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
You could never brag and say you have the two top law enforcement officers from your school serving at the same time. That's Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernanda and Dr. Raymond King. So this press conference is going on now along with His Excellency, the Honorable A. Leonard Archer, who's the longest serving principal at the school. We are honoring them in a gala ball October 1st, right? And I just want to say to people, 433-6917, if you want more information, you can contact me, 433-6917. And why we choose them? Because Clayton Fernanda, who's now the Commissioner of Police, came out of Bantown in a street. Dr. Raymond King, who was Commodore of the Defense Force, came out of Big Pond. Now, I happened to go to school with both of them. I can remember Dr. King coming up out of Big Pond. I can remember Clayton came out of Bantown because I came out of Grantstown. Mm-hmm. And so we are honoring them as part of the 50th anniversary of the CC Sweeting School, where many persons have been to of notable interest. The other event I want to share is there's a chaplaincy conference because we're talking about addressing the issues here.
Because I was just about to say, hold on.
Okay.
What a wonderful thing. Honoring community members.
Right.
Not just because you're a police officer.
No.
Right. You are also a police officer. You're an upstanding member of the school community.
That's correct.
And you're an upstanding member of the wider community.
Yes.
Right? The Bantown community, this community. That's a part of the strategy and the solution. Honoring people who are close to us, who have lives like us, so that we could see that it is possible.
Because, let me say this with you, Aaron, and to your audience. Growing up in CC Sweeting, there was this stigma attached. Now, I know I might be older than you or much older than you, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it, but there was a stigma attached with CC Sweeting. They used to call us the Big Doll House. Can any good thing come out of the Big Doll House? Mm-hmm. I did. And this is why the committee led chose Raymond King, Dr. King, and Commissioner Clayton Fernanda to prove that these persons who grow up or come out of poor, because I know them as little boys, we all grew up. Me and the commissioner went to primary school together. So obviously we've known each other for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And to know where they come from, all of us, and to see where they would have gone today, in particular those two, as the top law enforcement persons in this country. And what we're saying is, yes, many good things came out of CC, the Big Dollars, because there was this stigma attached that our girls would get pregnant early.
Yeah.
So that's why they used to call us the Big Doll House, you know? And that's all we're saying. We're saying yes to the boys, to the men out there. We want to say to them, many good things can come from you. You may not have started out, you know, it could be bad, poor.
But we all start off a little foolish.
Yes.
We all start off doing little foolishness.
That's correct.
Right?
I mean,
if God... Listen, God bless all of the people that stood in the gap for me when I was a youngster.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yes. And the chaplaincy conference, because most people know me from prison ministries, which I've been involved in for 20 years, what they're doing, they've looked at the situation and in partnership with the commissioner too. and decided that we need to have a conference. And somebody may say, well, just another conference. I want to say, no, this is not a conference. October 6th through 8th, transforming lives. And so what they're going to do with this, there are a number of presenters. Now, you may say, well, I hear Dave and I hear Aaron. I'm not interested in prison ministries. Well, no, this is not only for persons interested in prison ministries, because you talk about training, educating, informing. There'll be one-on-one ministry, Apostle Raymond Wells. We know him. He's chaplain of the Defense Force, pastor of Living Waters Kingdom. There's also Reverend Anthony Sands. That's the president of Prison Fellowship, creating a culture of discipleship. Now, this one direct related to the prison, but also related to boys and men, integrating them back into society. Mm-hmm. That's Reverend Dr. Leonard Clark, a former prison chaplain. You mentioned to me about family when we were coming up. Well, look here, Minister Patrick Wright, the retired Commissioner of Correction, will be talking about family reunification. Yes. You got leadership. I mean, redemption, life and spiritual balance, ministries to family impacted by crime and incarceration. Because people, when I talk, they say, oh, you're only dealing with the criminals. No, we have programs that deals with the victims too. Working with justice involved women inside and out of the prison. This more deal with a lot of the situations that women experience for men in terms of the gender-based violence, and talk about the rape prevention. That's what, and that presentation is Miss Antoinette Rule. She's a Bahamian of an organization based in Canada. So she's flying in for this. Another awesome. One, Sebastian Campbell. Canon Sebastian Campbell has a chaplaincy program. Very respected, internationally accepted. His chaplains were among the very few during COVID, could go to the hospital, shepherding your volunteers. Waking, you talk about justice. Miss Monique Greenslade, director of the William A. Pratt, she will talk about waking with justice-involved youth. What you need to know. This is a program designed, men and women. Then we talk about mental health. We can't leave out mental health. That's by Dr. Hastings Johnson. Learning by doing action, trauma. So I can stop there, but my point is, this chaplaincy conference is seeking to educate, to inform persons, to give you the necessary training. And also, you will get a, I think they call it a certificate of attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm just saying, I'm encouraging people to sign up for these things. I just got to throw out my number for now. And it's under Dr. William Thompson, who's the conference chaplain, and the Commissioner of Corrections, Mr. Dawn Clare. And I'm saying 4336917 if you want information to be a part of these events. People talking, but we are doing. And then the march.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's
problem.
We can get to the march.
Okay.
This is just fantastic. The chaplaincy program,
yes,
that is building capacity with chaplains so that they are able to provide support services.
And not only chaplains. If you're not interested in chaplaincy, but this information you get in the training,
right,
and you are equipped to apply it anywhere.
I find this awesome because, listen, I've just in this conversation where some young people were saying, listen, we need more options for mental health,
yes,
support, right? And they're saying they want more than just church-related,
yes,
options.
Agree.
However, there are a lot of people who still new to therapy,
yes,
and still will feel more comfortable with a pastor. So I'm or chaplain. So I am all for building their capacity,
right,
and enabling them, certifying them, enhancing their skills and services to go out into the world.
That's correct.
Right, and provide these services. Youth leaders,
yes,
teachers,
yes.
If you are, because I'm all for the Ministry of National Security and related agencies creating a vetting program for people working with young people.
That's correct.
If you're working with young people, you should come join these events. Get a local accreditation,
yes,
from people who have been doing this work for a long time.
That's correct. Because out of this conference, right, you will get a certificate of attendance, which would qualify you now that you would have been fully trained in these particular areas and able to apply this training. And like I say, it's not just the prison. It also involves other community-based groups. So church, and I want to say to you folks, yes, as you know, I am of the Christian faith, but this transcends Christianity. I just want to be clear, because when I go in prison, I don't see or whether you're Christian or whatever, this ministry, as a matter of fact, I got a call from a friend of mine in Trinidad, because I used to be in charge of prison in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
In Trinidad, he said, boy, Dave, I admire y'all because y'all basically have the Christian faith. In Trinidad, they got the Rastas, the Muslims, the Christians, and I think it's the Hindus, right?
Yeah.
Or Buddhists anyway. But the point is, so we recognize that ministry must transcend Christianity. right? Mm-hmm. And so we minister to people. Does not matter what your sex is, whatever it is, we are there to minister to you, not to preach to you. We share with you how we can help you, how we can assist you. We share the message of transformation. Of course, like I say, as a Christian, you know, that's always my first option. But I recognize that everybody is not of the Christian faith. So when I come in there, I'm coming there to minister and to share with you without prejudice. In other words, my question is not what denomination you're from, not country you're from, not sex you're from. No, I am there to share and ministry. And then people say, are the men doing something? And this is why the International Men's Day came up with this march.
Yeah.
What is the plans for the march, Aaron? The plans for the march is to leave from Christie Park, okay, on the September 24th, next week Saturday, 2 p.m., and to return back to Christie Park. We have gotten permission from the Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando, who was offered the Urban Renewal Band, and he will provide the security from his offices. We have gotten, and he'll also speak at the rally. Who's
going to secure the refreshments, sir?
I can tell you about that.
Okay,
I can tell you about that, right? Then we've gotten permission from the Defense Force, the Commodore, Dr. Raymond King, who will be supplying 50 of his officers along with the band. Now, they will probably not be in uniform because the idea is not to be a uniformed event.
Right.
I'm now contacting the Commissioner of BDOCS. So when I leave your radio, I'm going to call the Secretary for confirmation that he too would send some 50 officers and the prison band. We've gotten confirmation from Boys Brigade, Scouts. There'll be a Junkanoo rush out. Augusta Street and we call it Meadow Street. That's where the Junkanoo group will line up and go to Christie Park, right? We'll also have a desk, BTVI, because we are partnered now with BTVI. So they'll be on site with their desk, giving out their paraphernalia and signing up. Because remember, this is a men's march.
Yeah.
And so we're inviting the men. The women, we're asking you to walk on the side, give your signs.
Support.
Say I'm supporting the men.
Yeah.
But we want the men to come out under the theme, enough is enough, and men must lead by example. And we're asking other organizations catering to men, there's no cost. You can come out to Christie Park, set up your desk, and say, these are programs, the gentleman you just mentioned, he can come out there, set up his desk. This is my organization. I'm asking you as young men to sign up. That's the idea. Now you ask.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for some sponsors for water. I'm reaching out to people because we want to be able to provide at least some water. And we have a number of persons, Prison Fellowship Bahamas. We have Bahamas Chaplaincy Conference, International Men's Day, who will be selling some light food, right? Because there's no cost. So I'm saying men are doing things. We're seeking to reach out to men and men marching. Can you imagine, Aaron, 1,000 men or 10,000 men leaving Christie Park all the way back to Christie Park and saying, enough is enough. Men must lead by example.
Yes, man. That's this. Oh, look here. Okay, first of all, I am as excited as you are right now. That's as a woman.
Right.
To be on the side.
Yes.
To support.
To support, right?
It doesn't mean that we lesser than.
No.
It doesn't mean that it's not about us.
That's right.
It is about us, ultimately.
Right.
It's about all of us.
Yes.
But I know the men would feel so supported.
Yes.
If women do come out.
Yes, man. Right. We love our women.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Some men are struggling with their relationships with women.
Yeah. By you saying that, we also will have counselors on site. So what we're saying, it's a men's march. But if women come out, we're not going to say, oh, you're a woman, you can't march, right?
Right.
But it's a men's march.
We're prioritizing.
Good. Now that you brought that up, right, so we will have counselors. So when you reach Christie Park, there will be a tent set up. That will be counselors. If there's a male out there who says, and I'm talking about persons who have had training and working with youth, who work with youth now, there will be a tent set up there that will be identified. You need counseling. If as a male, when you reach Christie Park, you say, you know what? I need another male who I can talk to. There's two persons who will actually be sitting there.
Right.
William Lund, Ramon Ramsey. You can sit down and have a conversation.
And you know what women need? They need to be able to ask questions about men with no judgment. They need to be able, because ladies, we could believe we know a man. I know him. I know he thinking about that. We could believe whatever we want. But we have to trust what men tell us about themselves and about other men.
Right.
So women, if you got questions, you want to know and understand your man better, come out, find a counselor and ask some questions.
That good point. That's so men for counseling, but if there are women who may say, hey, help me to understand the way a man thinks, We will have men there who can talk with the women for counseling.
I tell people, you don't get it. Do we have a housing crisis? Yes. Why? Because man need a man space. Mm-hmm. There are not enough barbershops in the Bahamas to house all the man space. Mm-hmm. They call it a man cave.
Yes, man cave, right?
He have a man cave and she have a she shed. But man needs some things for men.
Men, that's correct. Because that's what would be encouraging. Men, we get together and we are putting together a number of events under led by Apostle Henry Higgins from Creative Christian Arts Ministry. Because he have a program Monday for 6 o'clock where he have his boys and men's program. What we're encouraging is men to have a space where just men can talk men issues. And I have had an opportunity to go in some of those spaces. And the information that come out of that, they say men don't talk. Maybe they don't talk. But it's amazing. I've watched big men just break down and cry and share the challenges they face in their marriages. And another man could put their hand around them and say, well, in my marriage, I face this. This is how I deal with it. We need more spaces like that for men. Mm-hmm. You see? And this is what International Men's Day Bahamas Committee is seeking to create. We're not an organization. We're seeking to bring all of the organizations together and work together.
Now, look here. I got a text that asks, this guy is passionate. Why is he talking so loudly? He talking loudly because he want to reach every man out there. We excited about...
Yes.
If you get it, right? When you get it, you get excited about it. It was important for me to hold a space for this today.
Yes.
Given the incidents of violence taking place.
That's correct.
Particularly within the school system generally.
Yes.
Right? Not just the students. We had some conflict at higher levels that students are aware of. We need solutions.
Yes.
We're not here to place, we ain't placing blame.
Right.
Sometimes just knowing that somebody else is thinking about the problem sparks another thought, another moment of progress, right? And so we excited, callers, Texas. And they call in and they're texting Mr. Williams. So let's go to the phone line.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I think we may have missed that caller, producer. We got another one coming right now. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, and good morning to my namesake, my good brother, Dale.
Morning, sir. Morning.
You notice this?
Yes, I notice this.
All right, I heard you said that you need some water. How can I get you a couple of cases of water? How can I get that to you?
Let me give you my cell, and I'll come get that from you. 433.
433.
6917.
Okay, and you get my cell, too. I don't mind giving it on the airwaves.
819-9848. Yeah, I need as much.
Don't worry, but whatever I can do. And, you know, I got people, you know, I can make sure you get a couple of cases of water. I'm sure of that. Ms. Green, let me share something just a minute.
Yes, sir.
You see that gentleman that's sitting in your studio?
Yes, sir.
Boy, Ms. Green, people don't know. People don't know what he has done for me. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. Not nobody in government. Yeah, they do for me too. But I'm talking about a normal, common person. You see that gentleman there? I call him a gentleman of men of all men, Mr. Dave Williams.
Thank you, sir.
and hey, listen, the last pair of tennis you got for one of my basketball players. Well, he was in Canada, and he broke his leg a couple years ago. I don't know what happened to him after that. But thank you, Dave. I appreciate you. And I think it's only fair that I return the favor back for the blessings and the love that you show me throughout my time of reaching out to children.
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. And be in contact with me, my brother. Have a blessed day, Aaron.
Absolutely.
Okay, and make sure bring as much men as you could on that march, man. We'll appreciate it if you could bring them on that march.
Dave, I ain't too sure about the march.
Okay, all right.
Right? But I can tell you, I could make sure you get a couple of cases of water.
Okay.
Listen, don't watch nothing. I in charge of bringing the men's in.
Okay, thanks.
I got a new...
Have a good day, Aaron.
A new dispensation.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bro. This is awesome. I got to listen, and I have to read this text next. It says, this was a beautiful topic, both the school and the men's day. I feel so overwhelmed just listening. I'm 20 years old, and I'm just encouraged, so I wish more men in general
if you'd like to make a call,
encouraged. And that's the point,
yes.
Right?
And we're trying to bring, and we also made contact, so we're hoping the letters could go through. We're trying to get some of the men out from the school, the boys at least from the school. So that text talked about the passion. Let me tell them where the passion come from. The passion comes from 20 years of prison ministry, right? I've been involved in prison ministries. I've never been to prison, never even been locked up in a police station. So I knew this was God's calling on my life. No, I have no doubt about it. So when it burns my heart, Aaron, when I go up to the prison, I was supposed to go today, but I cancel it to be here with you. It burns my heart when I see the amount of young men, Aaron. I got my prison here. I got my prison report. I got my police report. Some of my statistics in 2019 show that 70% of the men incarcerated under 35 years old. Mm-hmm. That's food for thought. Under 35 years old, 70% of those persons is incarcerated in jail. This food for thought. I have a book here by UB. It's a study done by the IDB and UB. Mm-hmm. Talks about 30% of the murders were ordered from prison. Yeah. These stats mind-blowing. So when you, after all these years of going to prison and time again, and you saying to men, now this would bother me too. I always tell this to the men. These boys, these young men, they say, I hear ride or die. 90+% of the persons come to prison is women. When they incarcerated, it is the mothers, it's the sisters, the aunties, the godmothers coming to prison to see them. These boys who telling you they can ride or die, where they is, they asking me to leave something on the gate for them.
Yeah.
So this is where my passion come in. And then the other thing is, when I look at some of the crimes that has happened, and I'm not blaming anybody, and obviously I can't call names. Aaron, in my years of prison, when I look at some of the stuff that take place, and I sit down with these people and talking, just like how me and you sitting down and talking. The damage is done. People are dead. Property has been destroyed. And these people, they're getting the punishment. And they live a normal life. So we got to stop that cycle. That's a vicious cycle. And when we listen to what happened in the school the other day, I got a 15-year-old, Aaron.
Yeah.
You got to feel that with these young men. So what could I do? Myself, along with other male organizations, and that's why I want them to come out to the march, along or also be a part of the conference. You say you want training, come out to the chaplaincy conference. Let's do our part. Let's do our part. Don't let's sit here and talk. I don't talk with the politicians what they could do. Get involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's get to the root. Let's get to the root of it. Let's stop getting up and saying these are just bad people.
No, right.
These are people that made bad choices in bad circumstances. And how do we enable them to make better choices in the future?
That's
and
correct.
B, how do we prevent that happening in another child's life by creating an enabling environment?
They coming back into... See, I tell people, people have this mentality. Take the key, throw it away and lock them up. These men and women coming back into society.
Because they have a right to after serving the sentence.
So if you're not getting them education and knowledge and communicating and engaging with them while incarcerated, when they come out to society, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do we expect? So we I'm tired of people talking about did the man this and the boy. Let's get out there, get your hands dirty, and do your part. Like how my friend Williams called just now. I know he has a boys and a mentorship program, and that's why I had actually forgotten. I had whatever the lady talked about. I had forgotten about that, right? But I know he has a man's program. All I'm saying, each one, reach one. If I'm mentoring 5 or 10 boys, you mentoring 5 or 10 boys, things will change.
Right, because the streets will always be the best teacher.
Yes.
It's up to us to determine what is taught in these spaces. Right?
And one thing too, this is important. We talk about gender-based violence. And I said this to my son, and I don't want to say this. Now, I am 50 plus years old. I never had the courage, and I was never taught this. And so when you get into a space with peer pressure, you got to be able to say, this is what I'm trying to educate young boys. Mm-hmm. When the boys on the block say, boy, I'll punch her, I'll hit her. You got to say now, boy, I ain't supporting that. I don't agree with that. Yeah. We need more men and boys now to stand up in a group. When the boys in the bar, you got to be able to say that too. No, boy, I don't agree with that.
We have to go to a break. But before we go to the break, watch this. See, because when the young boy who challenges that and says, oh, no, go punch your ma face, right? Therein lies the problem. Because a lot of these young men, they want to punch their mothers because they have unprocessed trauma. They have unprocessed conflict with their mother and their father. With their father, they think because of their mother. And so to put it to them, right, then you realize where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
That they want to hit this girl because they're frustrated with all women mm-hmm. who they feel have control over them.
Yes.
Because they still haven't resolved the issues that they have with their child-mother relationship now that they are adult with mother. You know? Anyway.
That's the root, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Producer, thank you. It's time to go to a break. You guys stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest, David Williams from International Men's Day. We'll be right back.
Ah! 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 always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green with my guest today, Mr. David Williams. I got a text here that says, Erin, does your guest have any programs on teaching men how to be better fathers and good parenting techniques? And he goes on to say, I keep hearing the phrase, I don't want to blame anyone, but that's the problem. No one is being blamed and accepting blame. Our men have to take care and positively mentor the children they father. And when I say I don't want like put blame on anyone in particular, what I'm really saying is that you really have to delve a case-by-case basis.
That's correct.
And it's not about blame. It's understanding where the root of the trauma sits, right, and how to resolve it. That's it. And so I want to be careful about the language that I use because we're talking about people's lives.
Right.
And people are listening thinking we be talking about their very experience. And so I'm just trying to be empathetic and gentle, you know, with people.
Let me answer the text question. Yes, I would give you my number, 433-6917, 433-6917. Contact me. I will put you in contact with Apostle Henry Higgins. I know he started as I think he called it King's Men, but his boys program, it's an afternoon program. I think it's Monday, 6 o'clock, but contact me. So that is the program. Also, International Men's Day has a National Men's Plan, right? Talks about parenthood. It covers fatherhood, parenthood, the mailbox. It covers a number of areas.
Yeah.
And this plan was actually presented to the Prime Minister, the now present Prime Minister. Now, I was not there when they met because I was off the island. But the team met with the Prime Minister. He gave some suggestions and his hope that the Prime Minister would take the lead in implementing this National Men's Plan. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, yes, there is a plan. It was presented to the Prime Minister. Hopefully, we could get some word from it soon and we could go forward with it.
Absolutely. Let me tell you all again. We have a housing crisis, right? Is we have a problem. We talk about fathers and being in their children's lives and mentoring them. When mothers and fathers separate, right?
Yes.
Typically, the child stays with the mother.
Right.
The father has to go and find a new place to live and to figure out how to support the familial home. This is very problematic in today's economy.
Yes.
And it's not just the money. You could have the money and still not be able to find the housing that's appropriate
for
you and the safety of your child. So when we're talking about housing and housing options, are we considering that client who is the father, who's not the primary caregiver, but has shared custody and has to provide a safe, accommodating place for their children? Right? And these are things that have to be, like you say, in a men's plan at a national level.
Right.
There are some problems that people cannot solve on their own.
That's correct.
And some because they don't have the capacity to solve individual problems, but some because they are community problems or they are national problems. So this thing about fathers mentoring their children, there are lots of elements that have to be resolved or put in place for that to happen easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
A father who has custody of his children, he can't just let anybody be around his children, right?
Right, that's correct.
Parents need a two-bedroom home. The children need a room that is safe for children. Only children things go on so that adults can do adult things in other parts of the home, right? And children aren't exposed. Sometimes children are just exposed to, they have early sexual initiation because they're exposed to people in the home having sex
right.
at too early an age, mm-hmm. right? Or they walk in on something they're not supposed to walk in on, right? Because they just thought they was going to the bathroom instead of an adventure.
Right.
You know, and so all of these things tie back to these other larger social issues. Go on.
You know, and this is why I invite people. Even when I look at a conference, I invite them to come out, get the training, get equipped, network, the march, the same thing, because the information, even as a part of the march, we will be distributing pamphlets, how to deal with conflict resolution, how to deal with anger management, you know, tips for success. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So it's not just a march. We actually giving out paraphernalia with knowledge, education. The conference, I am recommending people be a part of it October 6th through 8th to get the necessary training to be equipped with the skills. Because even though it's a prison chaplaincy conference, you don't have to have no interest in the prison. The information, Aaron, I love. Aaron, I started college and didn't finish. So here's how I compensated for it. I love knowledge.
Yeah.
So I go to conferences, seminars. That's how I equip myself.
I like refreshments. If you get refreshments, I could be at your conference.
Well, you know. Now, I must say there is a course for the prison conference. I must say that, right?
All right.
But that's why I tell people it's $60. They can contact me, 433-6917, right? But Aaron, you know, you have always given me opportunities. And any space I'm in, and you in, and if you need food or drink, I will personally buy it for you. Because I know with you.
That ain't how Toten work, though. No, I appreciate the sentiment, but that ain't how Toten work. I don't feel the same.
Oh, when you're Toten. But this one is paid for, so it ain't free. So when it's free, you can Toten. But I know you like Toten, but no, you can't Toten to this one. So you'd say, well, Dave, I need this or I need that. And I'd say, Aaron, that's no problem. Because I know anytime I call you, and I say, I need a space for men, you say,
absolutely. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. Y'all hear this number, 433-6917. I'm going to need you to call Mr. Williams. Let him know you have some resources you can donate to the three events, or you have some pocket change that you can use to ensuring that some community leaders, some youth leaders, some men get to the conference.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I got some texts here for you. But producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Connie Davis, this Dark and Weiss, along with you and your guests.
Morning, Raymond. How are you
morning.
Here in Green.
Morning.
I listen to this brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I could find a man organization or a women organization which can hook me up with somebody, a scientist which could give me some sight. Y'all look like y'all don't deal with the...
I got you. Don't worry, Raymond. I got you.
You got me.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Pumpkin Eater is our guy. That's our point of reference. We got that. Good morning. You're on the clock. Good morning. You're on the clock. Oh, I'm sorry. We missed you. Caller. So I got some text here for you before we end the show. I got to read this one. It says, super proud of you, Uncle. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Love, Angie.
Okay. That's my niece.
Yeah. It's important to read these things.
Yes.
Right? Because the people who are doing the hard work, yeah, they get thanks. Sometimes they even get paid. But there's an intangible. It's something that can't be, you know, compensated for.
Yeah.
There's a weight that people hold when you hold concern for other people's lives.
Yes.
There's nothing that could pay for that or alleviate the stress. It's just something that you hold, you accept, you take. Mm-hmm. For the whole, you know?
Right.
And so we got to read these positive. It's the same way that we have to honor people from our communities, honor people like us that are doing good things, they're doing big things. Don't even have to be big, big things. They're just doing. They're just striving. They just keep going. Producer, somebody say, cheapest you end the song with Totus. They say that might as well be Aaron Green theme song. Another text says, tell your guests that C.C. Sweeting also produced Rodney Monka.
Yes.
A very influential talk show host.
That's correct.
And former senator.
That's correct.
Right. And it's important to break through the stigma, because if we allow I went to the government high school, or, you know, I went to the Queen's College
right.
to permeate, we'll never realize the fullness of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Captain Randy Butler, Sky Bahamas, Raymond Winder, the chairman of Commonwealth Bank. I mean, and I was the Kalis Rowell, who served as a cabinet minister. I got to stop. So, I mean, I could call so many other names, you know, in terms of persons who publicly known, right?
Yes.
There's numerous, many of them, but I'll stop right there.
No, man. I mean, we have to because we're out of time. That's right. The only reason we have to stop. Give us the dates for the events again and then your contact information.
Okay. So, obviously, we say the CC Sweeting 15th Anniversary Ball, October 4th, Super Club Breezes. You can contact me. The Chaplaincy Conference, October 6th. Through 8 at the William Thompson, at the church where Bishop William Thompson is, Faith United Hall, and March, next week Saturday, I'm saying, don't meet me there, you ought to beat me there, 2 p.m., Christie Park, we calling all men, and those of you the Junkanooers, we asking you to meet us on the corner of Augusta Street and Meadow Street to take the Junkanoo Rush, which will come behind. We already got confirmation from the police, the Defense Force, they'll have their marching bands there, along with some of the officers there. And we waking on the prison, the Boys Brigade, the Scouts, and numerous other men's organizations. We even sent a letter to the Rastas just to let them know. This ain't prejudice. All we're looking for, men leading by example, saying enough is enough.
Because Rastafarian community is a community that young African Bahamians look up to. They want to model. They're looking for examples of masculinity that they can align with. Rastas, come out. Support the men. Support your Bahamian brothers.
My cousin, Priest Blyden, he's well known.
Mm-hmm.
Me first cousins, two sister children. I Christianity's Rasta, and we were close. He died. He's the one I heard brought the house of Rasta together.
Yes.
Philip Blyden, Priest Blyden.
Absolutely.
That's right.
This is wonderful. Tech says, this is the last text, no hate, not personal or bias. I may love the U.S., but I cannot live there. Texter, we can read that tomorrow. Don't watch nothing. That's a good one. We're going to end on that. We're going to read that tomorrow. Mr. Williams, only thing I have to say is this. I got 8 hog plum in the studio and 4 is yours.
Thank you very much. I grew up with hog plum.
Something we need to... Anyway, I just got excited. All y'all old people had hog plum tree, didn't preserve them. This is how we're going to preserve culture. We need new rites of passage. Every young man, child needs to have a fruit tree that he has to grow, own, take care of. That could be a new rite of passage. Anyway, we're out of time, Mr. Williams. This has been exciting. You've inspired me. I hope you were inspired too, audience. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next with Cecil Newry.
Call out, boy, come hurry, check your gate. I rush up on the dance floor to see what's going on. This big, dark, tall dude was steeping on my corn. Then right behind the cellar, two sisters dressed in black. They had 4 plate of roast beef and a case of soda spark. When the toasters come to your party, they will cause you plenty of stress. Cause before your party are over, you ain't gonna have
this is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.